Saluting local legends. This is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. MeridenFitness.com.au.
Great to have your company on a Saturday morning throughout the Central Wheatbelt and Avon Valley. Dan Hobley over there, Terry Seaver over here.
Hey, Terry, good morning, mate. Happy Saturday morning to you.
It's getting crisp, isn't it, around the place, if it isn't already?
Oh, I've been lighting the fire in the morning and in the evening, mate. No word of a lie. Pretty cool around the Avon Valley and the Central Wheatbelt at the moment. I'll give you the tip.
And we've had just a little bit of rain, but we'd love to see a little bit more.
Yeah, we've had a fair bit of rain of late, of course. As far east as Beverley, I think there was a bit over 100 mil that's fallen. You know, the rain has fallen, but we always need a bit more to follow it up. So a bit of sunshine now and maybe a bit more rain over the next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully.
Another big show, as per usual, here on Triple M over the next couple of hours. Stay with us.
Mate, got it all covered this morning. Catch up with the under-9s coach, actually, there in Ben White from the York Roos for the Auskick. We'll also talk some netball, some footy, and, of course, catch up with the main man, Andrew Quinn, the big Quinn dog, for some golf there from the Northern Golf Club. So Quinny's always a hoot, so looking forward to catching up with him in studio.
All thanks to our friends at Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. 24/7 access for members, meridenfitness.com.au. Great range of programs down there.
Mate, they've got Pilates doing all the business down there. Open 24/7. I say it every week. There's no excuse for you not to check it out. Meriden Fitness and Squash open 24/7, getting the job done here on Triple M.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show. Don't go anywhere.
Saluting local legends. This is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. MeridenFitness.com.au.
Don't forget, we're off to the footy this afternoon. As for McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. Dan, as far as our West Australian teams go, Eagles had a pretty good win away at the MCG against Hawthorn last week. Dockers were disappointing early in the match. They did come back late, but too little too late, wasn't it?
It was too little too late, and they've done that a fair bit lately, Fremantle. Brisbane, I think, were always going to be the fancied side. Of course, that game got moved from Optus Stadium due to the COVID factor and went over to the Gabba. So Brisbane were naturally always going to be very, very comfortable. They ended up getting home by 4 goals. Fremantle challenged in the second half. And for West Coast, well, they played a very inexperienced Hawthorn side. They had more class and more experience up the top end of the ground there, being in the middle and also across the half forward line. So they're the games they should be winning. But, Hawthorn working their way back into the contest and the West Coast securing a very critical away win.
More AFL action later this morning on Triple M. Dan, we turn our attention to the Central Wheatbelt Football League. And what round are we up to? We're trying to figure that out.
Well, we were trying to figure it out because it's been named on the actual, well, the system, well, obviously on the actual
Fibonacci came up with that.
Yeah, the app. On the app, it's saying round 6, and we've covered round 5 for last week. So it can only really go off. We always appreciate that. Each, you know, country association has obviously had a round that's been wiped out and they're obviously dealing with it in their own way. So we're going to go with what the actual game day says. And round 5's results from last week, which we covered on Monday. Beacon, 14 goals, 690. Had a great win over Muckenbooden, 11 goals, 571. So good effort there from Beacon winning that contest to kick their season off and getting their first win for the year. Quarter, 9-15-69, defeated Ben Cubbon, 8-5-53, and Killeny had the bye. So some interesting results from that fixture from last weekend for the Saturday. And we do turn our attention to now this weekend's fixtures, and Killeny are taking on Quarter. That'll be happening in Killeny, which is obviously today, and then Muckenbooden taking on Ben Cubbon. So when you look at the ladder, Terry, it's quite interesting because it's quite a congested ladder. At the moment, Quarter have really started perfectly with, you know, 3-0. They're on 12 points, percentage of 176.97. Ben Cubbon had a very good start to the year. Obviously, they only had their first loss on the weekend there to Quarter. So they are 2-1 with 8 points. And then Beacon in third position. Just goes to show, they've had their first win for the season, they've rose to third spot. Their percentage of 102.86, they sit on 4 points. And Muckenbooden in fourth position on 4 points. So just outside the four, Killeny have a win too. So quite an even ladder.
Good to see all the teams have opened their account.
It is. It is great to see. It's an association that faces, you know, those far east challenges. I've had a little bit to do with the Beacon Football Club with just knowing a couple of blokes out there. They're a great football club, but they're all great football clubs out that way. Look, I really think that at this stage, clearly that Quarter are the fancied side going forward, but you just never know. The second, you know, the second half of the year and the next month or so will certainly sort a lot of sides out. But the best thing about this association is that the actual top four is well and truly alive with a couple of rounds to go in the year. So you can't give up on Killarney, because in 3 weeks' time they might be second on the ladder.
Are we seeing players travel from elsewhere to come into the league, or is it predominantly local players out there, do you know?
Well, I know for a fact that a number of sides get a number of Perth players in. Beacons tends to be a lot of ex-Beacon that come back that predominantly live in Perth, and then they'll travel out to what Beacon's traditionally known as being the edge. So they'll go out to the edge and play for their beloved football club. There's also, with blokes travelling back from the Beacon example, for the Mucker example, Ben Cubbin, Corder, Killarney, they always try and bring a mate back, from Perth or someone that might be playing football within another association, drag them back and get it done for Saturday Sport. But a terrific association, play on a Saturday, netball along with it. So, look, they're in a good place. The main thing is it's actually happening this season. So they're doing beautifully. And, like I say, we'll look at that ladder and see how we're looking in a month's time, because I reckon it's going to be pretty congested up the top. My pick is this year, though. I have a feeling about Ben Cubbin. I've had a feeling about them from about the first time we started speaking about that. So they're going to be my prediction to win the flag this year, Ben Cubbin. Just a little bit of a thought about that.
And Corder are the ones that are being hunted.
Well, at the moment they are, yeah. So we'll see how they go, but obviously we'll be all over the results come Monday morning, Terry, and we'll go from there. And as I mentioned, Killarney playing Corder today in Killarney, and Mucker taking on Benny Cubbin, obviously away to Mucker, and Beacon have the bye. So they've got a bit of momentum, and now they have the bye. So that is the results and everything you need to know about the Central Wheatbelt Football League.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M. We're back with more shortly, thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Yeah, good to be with you on a Saturday morning, Dan. We are stepping into the world of netball through the Northern Association.
We are indeed catching up inside the studio this morning, actually. We've got a guest in here, Leanne Hunt. Leanne, a very good morning to you for a Saturday. There's a lot happening within the Northern Netball Association, both at senior and junior level. You've got some results there for us.
Yeah, sure have. So we've had two rounds now out at the rec centre and had some really interesting results. Renegades in our A grade have definitely started off the season how they finished. They've had a great win over Bakers Hill on the weekend. Shadows are doing really well. They came back with a win this week after a loss in the first round. But Jets had the bye. Tigers from Darren, they're not doing too bad. They sort of kept up with Shadows for a while there. And then we have, so there's just the five teams, so they're doing really, really well. This weekend we've got Darren versus Jets, Renegades versus Shadows, so that'll be probably the match of the round, and Bakers Hill get the bye.
How have you gauged the talent on display so far from the seniors and the junior side of things? Are the seniors winding back in and they're feeling quite good about things?
Yeah, some of the A-grade girls from last year have decided to play down a couple of grades, but they've still got it down in the A-reserve division. So that's been quite interesting. But some great new talent come into some of our teams here in Northam, so it's really good. We have players that have come from York, Darren, Gemelling, 2J, yeah, so it's really, really good.
And I imagine there's always a talented 15 or a 16-year-old lady that's getting around that will play in an A-grade side. Has there been any talent that young that's come through or a little bit older?
A little bit old, yeah. And so, there's been a couple of York girls that have come over. One I've picked up in the Jets team, and her sister is playing for Shadows.
So you've got to work these angles. Yeah. You've got to work the angles.
Yeah, it's all about angles. I just told the girls at training. So, so those girls have been quite interesting. But a couple of up-and-coming young girls from Darren that are coming through.
Oh,
and,
beautiful.
Which is great.
You've had training for the Association Championships recently?
Yep. Yeah, so we've got one team going to Association Champs this year. Unfortunately, COVID played a huge part in the development of our 12 and 13-year-olds.
Yep.
So we haven't, we had our trials and that you can just see that their development really lacked with losing that last year of having nothing. So we've taken a combined 17s team. So that's made up of some really talented 14, 15 and 16-year-olds. So no actual 17-year-olds, but some great young players in there that have been coming through. We've got Demi Collins, Olivia Parker, Felicity Oliver, three really great kids that have been coming through the pathway and are really shining and being, you know, middle of the range age players.
Pathway's important, isn't it?
Extremely important. And as we touched on before, losing the Flames, and which was our Wheatbelt regional team, we've lost a huge amount of development.
I came here in 2018 and the Flames were still... The flame was still flickering, boom, boom.
Yeah, boom, boom.
And then it kind of all went quiet because of a restructure by Netball WA.
Yep, Netball WA stepped in and changed the boundaries and changed how things were to be, changed where we could source our junior players for development from. No longer were we allowed to take kids that might have played all their juniors here, gone down to Perth to play, to go away to school, as a lot of the country outlying Wheatbelt region kids are. We no longer were allowed to take those kids in and develop them as their own. They had to stay down there in Perth in their own, whatever the region was in Perth.
They're getting too political. Do they get that wrong? Did the Netball WA get that wrong? Clearly they have. If the Flames have disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, because really it's getting back to you trying to enhance the product, and it's disappointing to see that go on.
Yeah. And the development, even though there still is a development pathway, it's not what it was.
Not as strong.
And because we don't have the Flames Netball team, for them to aspire to be, they're going, well, where do we go next? You know, what's next? There's nothing
here. They leave the region.
That's it.
They go to Perth.
And, you know, in Perth, you've got to be the top of the Wazza down there to be able to break into any of those teams. Here, Flames were quite competitive, you know, won premierships over the years and things like that. Towards the end, it was getting harder because, again, trying to attract players to come and play for a Wheatbelt team. They trained in Perth to try and make that easier, but to keep Wheatbelt girls in those teams, the development and stuff was just starting to wane, and unfortunately we lost it. It's sad.
That's why the association champs are so important for you guys, because it's another shit of where you can really get stuck in and to represent your actual association.
Correct.
Now, we've touched on the coaches and the volunteers side of things. The preparation, I imagine, going into this would be quite deep, and you'd be pretty happy that you've got people that are involved at the moment. Give our listeners a bit of an idea of the sheer amount of preparation that goes in for coaches for this.
For association champs?
Yeah, for the association champs.
So, a lot of work goes on. It's not about just getting there on a sad day or a training on a Thursday night and getting that done. Hours of preparation in regards to fast-tracking their development through the short run of trainings leading up to association champs is really, really, really crucial. So we work together to make sure we get a program that fits, try and get in a few extra games.
I'll just get it. It was just one last one, Terry, before we wrap things up. Look, we want to go down there and win. Clearly we want to go down there and win.
Absolutely.
But the other side of it is that you've got to balance up is the development side of things. I imagine when the coachings and the people that are involved approach it, they really want to be balancing that week out and saying to themselves, okay, we want development, we want wins, but it does get back to, making people a better netballer.
Correct, absolutely. And to make people better netballers, we need more coaches and more coaches to get developed.
All yours, Terry.
Wrapped up nicely. Leanne Hunt joining us from the Northern Netball Association. A promising start to season 2021. Leanne, thanks for coming in, and hopefully we can catch up with you regularly throughout 2021.
My pleasure.
Leanne, you did very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show here on Triple M. We're doing it thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Time to turn our attention, Dan, to the Eastern Districts Football League.
We are indeed, and having a chat there with Brandon Giles. Giles, a very good Saturday morning to you, mate. You've had some rain out there, which is great.
Yeah, mate, that's it. Plenty of rain around the whole Eastern Districts Footy League, so I'm sure there's plenty of boys out there on seeding. Tractor's very happy they're not kicking off as much dust as they have been recently.
And, mate, we don't like to give a figure naturally on the radio, but it looks to me like most areas out there would have got, well and truly over, an inch or 2 inches at least.
Yeah, mate, from what I've heard, and I don't want to curse anyone who missed out, but I think well and truly up and around that, a couple of inches right through the district, which is, yeah, like I said, real good for a couple of boys and a lot of people seeing in conditions they haven't for a long time, which is good to see.
It's great to hear, mate. We'll bounce into the round three results and we'll get it right this week. We know we've had a little switch from three to four, but the EDFL, obviously the Eastern Districts Footy League, it's round three results from the weekend. Let's touch on Burrup Coppin taking on Hyde and Kilgarran. It was a pretty dominant Hyde and Kilgarran, 19-16 in the end, 130, pretty much pushing Burrup aside, unfortunately for them. They didn't kick a goal in the last quarter, 5 goals, 6-36. So looks to me like Haslam's got amongst the goals again up there with 8 goals for Hyde and Kilgarran, but they're certainly making a statement, aren't they, Gilesy, so early in the year?
Yeah, mate, real dominant performance from then again. And like you said, holding Burrup to scoreless in the fourth there, it's pretty typical of Hyde and Kilgarran to put up a strong fight. And yeah, like you said, they're the force to be reckoned with at the moment. I think undefeated on top of the ladder. And yeah, I think it's going to be hard to stop them at this rate.
Downsbury chipping in there with 3 goals for Burrup Coppin. And we go to the better players for Hyde and Kilgarran. We'll keep it nice and simple. Cornwell playing a good game. Haslam obviously kicking 8 goals. Has got to get a mention. And then for Burrup Coppin, Everett Lowe, also their better players. We'll move on. The Hawks, they play the Southern Cross lads. Southern Cross obviously really struggling at this stage. It's a shame to read out these types of scorecards, but Narrambeen can only play what's out there. 17 goals, 18, 120 over Southern Cross. Pretty dark day for the club, 139, and not what the league wants to see.
No, that's dead right. And I certainly feel for those boys. And yeah, I've said it a couple of weeks now. They're battling away, and all credit to them, because they're putting a team out on the park each week and giving it a red-hot crack. Dane Steven kicking their solitary goal, probably a strong figure at that club, getting them on the board. But yeah, Jimmy Kennedy kicking 8 and plenty of contributors from Narrambeen on the day by the looks of it.
Yeah, and Giles, we've got to mention that we've all played in strong teams in our lives and those teams that are struggling. So our thoughts are with the club at the moment. We hopefully they improve. And just running through the goal scorers there for Narrambeen, Kennedy been in some really good form there with 8 goals he kicked, and Hislop also been in some form of late, kicking 3 goals. And better players will run through for Southern Cross, as you said, Dale Stephen and Schilling and Matty Beaton too there, putting his hand out to be one of the better players. Cool and Condinan, they played the Tigers. Cool and Condinan certainly putting themselves in the bracket too, to be talked about. 20 goals, 10, 130 over Corrigan. Probably pretty disappointing, you would have thought there, from Corrigan. I thought they were going to give a bit more of a yelp than that. They were defeated 6 goals, 7. Yeah, interesting game of footy, that one.
Yeah, mate, as you said, Tigers have probably battled hard early across the first few rounds, and I think pushing uphill with a couple of injuries around from what I've heard as well. And yeah, look, they're cracking away, but yeah, as you said, Cool and a quality outfit have been for a number of years. And like you said, 20 goals, 10, they don't miss too often. With Ducky kicking 10 again, he's well on his way to kicking a big score for the year.
Yeah, no, he might be 55 years old in the wheelchair, that bloke, but he's kicked 23 goals in the last 2 weeks. So good luck stopping Simon Duckworth at the moment. We'll move on to Bruce Rock and Ninkani. Skip through this one, Gilesy. 9-13 to Bruce Rock. An important win for the Magpies over Ninkani. 8 goals, 5. Better players for Bruce Rock. Neria and Keast for Ninkani. Hooper also was one of their better players. The goal scorers-wise, we pretty much have it covered there. And that's a good win there for Bruce Rock. I think they'll take that takes them to third spot, mate.
Yeah, no, you're dead right. That was a great hit-out from all accounts. And Bruce Rock probably a little wasteful in front of goal. Could have made it a much better margin. But, yeah, probably Ninkani, Bruce Rock, middle of the table there. So that's probably who's bringing out behind Coolin and Hyden. So, yeah, quality match. Good to see Philip Gray, the Silver Fox, who's been a legend for the Ninkani Footy Club, getting back in the best players, and both the Hooper boys leading from the front for the Ds.
Gilesy, the fixtures, mate, for today, for a sad day, Hyde and Kilgarran taking on Southern Cross. What's your pick there?
Look, I'd love to say I wish the Cross could give us an upset, but Hyde and Kilgarran proving, again, that they're likely to be flag favourites, and I think they'll be too strong for the Cross.
Burrup v the Tigers, mate, v Corrigan.
This will be a really interesting one. I think the Tigers are probably real keen to get on the board, and Burrup coming off probably a disappointing loss for them last week. I reckon they'll be willing to really bounce back, but I think Burrup will be too strong for them.
Narrambeen taking on the boys from the Rock.
Yeah, that'll be another great hit out, I think. Two hard at it teams, and yeah, obviously the Rock coming off a great win last week, and also Narrambeen, you know, splitting the first couple of games. I don't know who to pick in this one, but I'll having seen the Rock play last week, I think they'll get the chocolates there.
And just to finish up, mate, Coolin Condinan taking on New Cardie. I'd say that the Condinan lads, Coolin lads, will get that one done.
Yeah, you're probably right there, mate. I try to keep my opinion unbiased, and we're going to have a hard time keeping Ducky under a bag, I reckon. But I think Coolin, in the end, will be too strong for us. But, yeah, we'll put up a red-hot crack.
Good man.
All right, Gilesy, our man inside the Eastern Districts Football League. Hopefully get lots of punters at the footy today, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. And, yeah, good luck to everyone playing footy today.
Good man, Gilesy.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M, all thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Yeah, get in and check it all out. Great facilities there at Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Dan, 24/7 access. They've got the full complement of Les Mills programs, which is very nice.
Yeah, no, they're doing beautifully out there. Meriden Fitness and Squash supporting us each week, week in, week out. So, like I say, 24/7. No real excuse but to get down there and get into it.
Teeing off now, we've got our man, Quinny, from Northern Golf Club.
We do indeed. Quinny, a very happy Saturday morning to you, mate. First of all, we need to talk about the Northern results because we didn't get him in last week, mate.
No.
So you've been cobbing some heat for that, yeah. But it's probably just as much our fault, as so we can't let you take all the blame, mate.
No, that's all right. And oh geez, Northern doesn't need a 24/7. I just want to get back to Terry. I've seen him walking a little bit down the streets at the moment, up and down the hill, so he's into the fitness campaign, which is great. But yeah, remiss of me last week to mention the winners and the runners-up the week beforehand, and so we'll get into the Northern results. And our man, the package, we call him the package, Brian Gogan, the big BG, is on fire. He won last week, or the week before, and that was a captain's trophy, or the match committee trophy, and runner-up was Chad Hunt. Had a very good score, and then he's come back and backed it up again in the monthly mug. Last Saturday, mate, picked up the coins, and he's got a lot of friends now because he picked up some bar vouchers, and that was kindly donated by Northern Tyre Power, the lovely people at Northern Tyre Power, Colin and Deb Petter. And runner-up was the ever-popular Pete Richards, a pretty high handicap. Well, he's not really on about 20 at the moment, but he's played pretty well, so Peter was runner-up. So we get hold of them early in the date. We can look forward to today's results, mate.
And the weather, of course, hasn't been that bad of late too, so conditions today are not looking too bad either.
Oh, it's going to be a beautiful day out today. Today's it's just a stableford event today, which is greatly a lot of people don't like playing stroke. Last week was a stroke around, and a lot of people don't like sort of playing stroke too much. But today's event is kindly sponsored by Avon Service Specialist Cameron and Michelle Blackhurst down there on Wellington Street. Do a fantastic job. If you want your car serviced, Terry, get down there and see them.
I just bought a new car.
Oh, did you now? Radio announcement's doing well for you, mate.
Well, my other car was about to die. So
I've seen one of your old cars, mate.
Went down to Toyota, Avon Valley Toyota, give them a quick mention.
And, Leone. Yeah, so today's event's a Stableford event. First tee off is about 12:30, so if you want to get down there today and have a crack, that'll be good. Just run through some ladies' results last week because you miss them as well, mate. We can't leave the ladies
don't
out.
Don't do that.
No, we don't want to leave them out. So they had their first stroke round. And that was kindly donated or sponsored by Jeanette Masters. And Les McPherson was a big winner of the first week out there with a net 72 score, which is very good. She's played
that's
to her
very
handicap.
Good.
It is for
that's,
Les. Yep.
That's 72, you said.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, no, good score by Les. So, and then Wendy Richards was runner-up on a countback from Shirley Smythe. So that was last week's first stroke. They also had the first round of the Judy Beresford putting competition, which is annual trophy.
Yep.
And what happens there is the best four scores out of six goes towards trotting, and you just got to count your putts and that sort of stuff. So the lady that won it was a new member, Linda Neal, and she had 27 putts for the day, which is putt and a half a hole, mate, which is not too bad, actually.
Also pretty good, like, to be using the word a new member. That's good. That's good, Quinny, that you know other people are getting involved in the game. And just going back to the Stableford, what's the story? Why don't people like the stroke game? What's the story there?
In my opinion, Stableford just gives you, you get rewarded for points and that sort of stuff. But in stroke, you got to count every stroke. So maybe, say, someone like myself that's on a sort of a mid-handicap, once I've had six strokes, I'll pick my ball up and walk to the next hole and that sort of stuff. Someone that's had seven on a higher handicap gets an extra point. But if you have a bad hole, which happens all the time, you've got to play it out, and you can have a 10 or 11 and that sort of stuff. It's sort of, people don't like that idea. You know, you can finish, a lot of people finish with 100 or get a, you start cracking over above the 95s, 100s. It sort of, it doesn't look good on the scorecard and that sort of stuff. You know, people like seeing 4 for 3s, you know, four points for a par and getting 3 points and that sort of stuff. So it's a bit of a, and it's a quicker game. Stroke takes a little bit longer because you've got to sit there. If you hit out of bounds, you've got to go back and re-tee up and that sort of stuff. But some people don't like it. I actually like it myself. I think it's a true indication of where you're playing your golf and where your ability is and that sort of stuff, you know.
It certainly sort me out.
Yeah, stroke does, yeah. And I just got to get back. I wrote this, Linda Neal had 25 putts, so she's improved 2 putts in the last 5 minutes for us,
mate.
There you go. She's done very well for herself.
Putting in the studio.
Yeah, and the greens, and actually at the greens, we spoke last week about the rain affecting the greens. The greens weren't too bad. The sand greens scraped up nicely, so.
Well, that was my attempt. I brought up the weather because I knew there'd have to be some kind of improvement.
There was a light shower during the week, wasn't it? Very
little drizzle. Yeah, I think later on next week it's supposed to be raining, which will be good for the farmers. But at the moment, a little bit of greens coming up, so it's all. I suppose everyone out there on the golf courses are looking forward to a little bit more rain. So,
it's an ongoing process, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, and it's one of the things we need the rain. But the course is certainly not as hard and dry as what it was a month or so ago. So it's, we're looking pretty good at the moment, you know. So
no digging any tunnels out there like at Yonga.
No. There's a little bit of runoff and a few tunnels. he just loves Northern. Wants to come out and see this countryside, mate, doesn't he? A
couple of mile hills. the tip, Quinny. We have the Northern Golf Club. We've obviously had a bit of a chat about that. Who's going to be your tip this week?
Well,
we don't want to discuss last week.
Last week's tip didn't even get to the first team, mate.
That's not your fault. The buggers that should be getting down there.
No, but geez, if this guy's a racehorse, he's 2 from 2, so I'm going to go 3 from 3 on Brian Greig. And I think, you know, you got to back the winners, you got to back the odds on favourites. So Greig is going to get me tipped this week to play pretty well. He's on good form and he's been playing at El Caballo as well midweek. So
good pick, holes in your pocket last week.
Yeah, he's sort of get your money on him, as Mick Molloy. It's a sure thing, get your money on him.
All happening there at the Northern Country Club. You can check them out on Wood Drive in Northern. Quinny, a man across golf, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure talking to you two fine gentlemen.
Love your work, Quinny.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M, and we're doing it thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Getting into the second hour of the show, and Dan, you're nice and warm now after that first hour.
Been busy, mate. Been a busy morning, of course, here at within Northern itself and the lovely studios here at Triple M. So, no, we've had a busy morning and we're going to crack on, Terry. Plenty going on the second half, mate.
And, of course, if you leave us here in the region, if you're away, you can download our new listener app. So many great options on there. So many great podcasts. I mean, the Howie Games, Mark Howard gets inside some of the big names in sport.
Oh, he's a big name, isn't he, Mark Howard, especially across Triple M. I love listening to Howie, and of course he's involved in the Triple M broadcast for the footy too, which will be coming up a little bit later on.
Yes, we'll give you details on which games we'll be taking a little later on, but local sport, front and centre here on a Saturday morning. A couple of footy leagues we'll talk about and get some results there.
Yeah, talking some footy, mate, and you know that I love that. But like I say, I've been covering all the local sport this morning, and footy we certainly included.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show, and we do it thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, 24/7 access for members, meridenfitness.com.au.
Mate, doing the job. They're absolutely creaming it out there, and get involved. You know, Meriden Fitness and Squash, 24/7, job done.
Tell you what, big week in Meriden, weekend, because it's the Meriden Songfest today and tomorrow. So
there's always something going on.
What do you like with singing?
Very good, actually. I have been known, this little story for you, Terry, just quickly. I have been known to go to 5 consecutive pubs over there in Sydney in one evening and sing the same song at each pub for karaoke, and that was REM, Losing My Religion. And I won't lie to you, I felt like I did pretty well.
Where did you learn that, at the Nibing pub?
No, something like that. But it's done the same thing down in Dunsborough too. I've sang the same song. But I think I was caught out by about the fourth pub. But by then it was 6 hours in, so it didn't matter.
There you go. Yeah, the Acquired Taste crew are putting together the Meriden Songfest. It's happening today and tomorrow. So if you're in Meriden, check that out. It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show right here on Triple M.
Saluting local legends. This is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. MeridenFitness.com.au.
Heading over to the Avon Footy Association, Dan, and we've got the man himself, Ian Macca McNeil, on the line.
We do indeed. Macca, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, listeners. This show is going gangbusters. Congratulations to you too. It's going everywhere. And how was last weekend? I got all three right, I reckon.
I think you might have, actually. Macca, we won't...
We're not going to go to the replay. I'm just going to claim it, boys.
No, just claim that one, mate. Absolutely. Hey, Macca, today's contest, it should be an absolute cracker, mate. Well, actually, we'll revisit that a little bit later on. We'll do the results first. Getting all confused for a Saturday morning. York and Beverley, mate, from last weekend, 7-8, 110 to York. Too strong for Beverley in the end, 10-12, 72.
Yeah, they are the kings of fast start, the York. They kicked 5 goals to 0 in the first quarter, I reckon, and 17-8, 110 to 10-12, 32. It really was the difference in the end, a 38-point margin. They're on top of the ladder, I think. They're undefeated. For the winners, Crisp. Now, I reckon he's a Miller medalist from the Eastern District Footy League. I played for Coolan Condit, and he's kicked 4. Fraser Jones kicked 4. The Son of a Gun, Rowe, kicked 2. Quartermain kicking 3 for Beverly and Butter Adams are kicking 2. Best players for the winners, Bart Atkinson playing in the back half, Ranstead and Penny. And old two ads is back, Nathan Orish Pike, and for Beverly Morton, I reckon that might be the one.
It is, yep.
In Jared Hawthorne.
Yep, Jared Morton, that is. Yeah, I had a read about that the other week, and the former Hawk, yeah, absolutely.
And Kay Ugel, I reckon I called him Kieran last week. That is Kyle, the young fellow, playing consistently good footy. And Ashworth, big win in the twos. That was ugly. 24-23, 167 to 128, 159-point margin. Ugel kicking 6 for York. And Kevin Chunderpike is back. And he's kicked 3 goals for the York Razzies.
Oh, Mackie, with a name like that, he should be kicking 3 goals each week. Let's move on to the Sunday games that happened last weekend. Fetty's 10 goals, 65, and a real close one. Calla Baron-Temin getting the job done only just 9-13-67, so 2 points, mate.
Yeah, it's good for the Fetty's boys. They were that's an arm wrestle, isn't it? Only a point in at three-quarter time, and 3 goals each in the last quarter, but Cats kicking 5 points. To get up by 2 points, and that's a real nail buyer. Jimmy Venturini, the superstar, kicking 4. Daniel Kranzberg, the new player, kicking a goal. Ward, Jack Salty, Tarjan, Riley Ferguson, the young fella, is playing the house down. Congratulations to him. Zach Casey, buckets, kicking 5-4. Fetties as Hamilton, Slater, Caden Elliott, Rose, and Hartland amongst them. Dan Hutchison, the young fella's got best player for the Cats, Cam Donk and Jake Dowding in the ruck. Henderson, Zach Casey, Naria and Hamilton. Naria might have had a big week this week, celebrating 100 years of the Northern School.
Head boys coming during the week.
Yeah, he did. Keller Tamman won the reserves. They opened their account against the highly fancy 30 side. So well done to new coach Brett Taylor, getting his first win, 6-11-47. 5-5-35. There's 1 point in the three-quarter time. Dave Smith kicking 3 goals for the winners.
And, of course, Cundinan had the bye. Macca, but the Quiriding League side, they rebounded after their defeat against York the other week. They ended up winning, in the end, 15-14, 104 over Northern Railways. Pretty competitive, I thought, the Northern Railways lads. They led at quarter time 2-4-1-2, but in the end they were done over 15-14, 104 to 8-6, 54.
Yeah, through the middle part of the game, the second and the third quarters, Quiriding kicked 12 goals to 2. That's a remarkable stat. So Railway's putting 4 goals on in the last and Quiriding kicking 2. But Ryan Maldanis, the reigning Byfield medalist, the reigning Stacey medalist, kicking 4. Payne 2, Lockie Donnelly 2. and Grierson too. Nick Clutterbuck got the goals. Lockie Jelmy's been playing very well all season. Ryan Malandalis, Andrew Walker, and Clutterbuck listed as querying their best. Jermaine Davis Jr. kicking three goals. Best players are Collard, Rossiter, Lewis, and Mayi Davis. In the reserve, Winter Railways, and that's for a young side, against Queriting away is a sensational effort. 13-6-84 to 9-8-62. Dawson kicking four goals for the winners.
Macca, of course, Triple M, big part of the Avon Footy Association. For a number of years, we've presented the Triple M, or the old 6 AM Footballer of the Year. Anyone that's caught your attention yet that could potentially get some votes there?
Yeah, thanks for the question without notice. Listen, Lockie Jelmy's playing very well. Ash, boys, when you kick, I think it's 25 goals in probably three games, you'd reckon Andrew's strike would be leading it by the length of the straight at this moment. Interesting, did not mention dispatches. I don't know whether he had a week off, but they didn't have a bye, no. So whoever played on, he did a particularly good job, or he wasn't there, but he'd be really leading this at the moment, I think, for certain.
And Macca, touching on the fixtures for round six, we'll kick things off Saturday, obviously being today, Beverley taking on Queriting. That should be a cracking contest. That's been played at the Beverley Sports Ground, so Queriting will be up against it, you'd think.
Yeah, you will do. Beverley very good at home, and Queriting, after a barnstorming start, and had a 50-point win last week. Game of the round, who could win this one? I'm actually going to the Bulls. I'm going to get on the Bulls. And whenever I tip against Beverley, their team to win. But if Queriting are the real deal, they need to win these ones, and they should get their season well and truly back on set, cement the spot in the fall. This afternoon, boys.
And Macca, of course, Cunderdin coming off the bye, they will host Federals. Thoughts?
A good chance for Cunderdin to get their first win for a very, very long time. Feds had a surprise packet last week, really pushing to the Cats. Whether Feds are very good or Cats are pretty ordinary, that time will tell. I haven't tipped Cunderdin for the best part of 2 years, and Beryl Baxter, she needs a reason to like me again. So Cunderdin to get up in an upset.
And, of course, the Railways lads, opportunity at home on Henry Street Oval. Of course, they'll take on the best side in the league at the moment, York. You'd suggest that York should win this, but another really great opportunity for Northam to do their bit at home.
Yeah, they will do, up against the faithful at home at the Henry Street Oval. Magnificent venue there. They won't start favourites. York will start, and they just have to control this fast-starting York side. And if they get all their guns there, this could be another very... Blake Bryant's got them playing good footy. It could be a very big day for the Roos. Kelletama got the bye, boys.
Cunderdin are the worry, aren't they, Macca, when you think about it? I think they are a genuine worry.
What, to be in the four?
I just think, mate, I've been speaking to a couple of blokes that are playing out there this year, and I'm concerned for that club.
No, they'll be there or thereabouts, I think. They're going through another rebuild, and new coach in full grade. They've got a few players in there. Yeah, there's upside in that footy club, hopefully.
Well, that's good. Good to hear.
All right, Ian Macca McNeil, our man inside the Avon Footy Association, thank you very much for your insights, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you very much.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M. We do it with our partners, Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
If you missed any of our previous shows, you can catch up on our website. Go through to triplem.com.au. Dan Hobley and Terry Seaver. Dan, change of pace now. Something we haven't spoken about before, tractor pulling.
Well, we're going out to training this morning for a Saturday morning. Nikki McDonald, good morning.
Morning.
How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Now, training tractor pull. Tell us more about it. The expressions of interest are out about now.
Yep, so we're running the training tractor pull again on the September the 11th. It's a Saturday. We'll be having the tractors doing their tractor pull, the burnout and the mud bog.
So just to give me obviously I haven't been around with Terry for, you know, I've obviously just doing the show at the moment, but give us a bit of an idea of how long this has been going for.
Oh, this has been going for years. It's something that the town does once a year, every year. Unfortunately, we couldn't run last year due to COVID, but yeah, every year since, I can't even remember, it was going since I was a kid, so it's been a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a very exciting event. So about 4 months' time in September, happening on the 11th of September. So you're having it at the training recreation ground. What kind of facilities do you have out there for this kind of event?
So we've got a bar that opens at lunchtime, so you can still have your drinks while you watch the entertainment. We've got a bouncy castle for the kids, which the kids love every year. It's free, so they just go nuts on that. Yeah, we've got a food van coming out. We've got the local pub that puts on a band after the event. So, yeah, it just runs
so in
all day.
In terms of like a ground there, are you just having it on an oval, like with the tractor pool?
Yep, so it's the old trotting track. We've got a mud bog track planned out in there. We've also got the tractor pool, which is running up one side, and then we've got the burnout pad in the middle.
So, Nikki, I appreciate that, you know, this is a very important event for you guys out there in training. Give us an idea of the level of commitment that's had to come back, you know, volunteers, the planning that's had to go in. You've missed a year due to COVID. Just give the listeners just an idea of how your little town out there at training has rebounded.
So we've bounced back quite well, actually. So what we missed last year, we could roll into this year's event. So we didn't miss out on too much. We've still got plenty of volunteers that help. We always ask for more. So if you're willing or keen, just hit us up on Facebook and we can give you a job to do on the day. We're always looking for people to do the scoring. So, yeah, we didn't miss out on much. So we could keep it actually dormant. It was just the insurance side of it because, yeah, they're not keen on motor events at the moment, but they're slowly getting back into it. So it's running really well.
And I imagine, you know, during springtime, obviously, you know, September the 11th for that Saturday, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, it's really important for the town at the moment to just have something clearly to look forward to, obviously seating and that's all going on at the moment, but just, you know, being in a position of where you've got something to look forward to down the line and some normality.
Yes, yeah, so get it all back to normal and show them that life does go on. We can get through the hard times and it gives everyone something to look forward to. It brings the community spirit back. So that's what we're looking for.
Can't wait for it. 4 months to go, the training tractor pool. But we've got to get the word out there now to try and build a bit of momentum before September 11. Going to be a massive weekend there. So $50 $50 for competitors, $10 for adults, $25 for family and kids under 16. $5. Now, you've got some trophies there for the competitors, for those winners in each category, Nikki?
Yes, yeah. So there's first, second and third for the burnouts and mud bog, and the first, second and third for the different classes for the tractors.
All right, can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to perhaps catching up with you before the big event. The training tractor pool, it's coming up in September at training at the rec ground out there. Nikki McDonald, thank you very much and good luck with it all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nikki.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M. We're doing it thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Good to have your company on a Saturday morning. Dan Hobley, Terry Seaver here. Thanks to Meriden Fitness and 24/7 access, which is very, very convenient at meridenfitness.com.au. Dan, we've been going for over a month now and we're starting to see in our leagues who are the contenders and who are the pretenders.
Yeah, a bit of shape, you know, starting to happen, Terry. Absolutely. Round five kicking off today. We have one game which we'll touch on. That will be between Durian Bay and Wongan Balladu.
This is in the Mortlock?
Yep, this is in the Mortlock. Yep, of course, it'll be happening today. So that'll be an interesting contest, absolutely. But we'll touch on the results from last week just to update our listeners. Of course, we did this on Triple M on Monday morning. We had a chat about this. We didn't have the Dandaragan and the Gemelling result from that, so we can cover that for a Saturday morning. And Dandaragan 6-14-50. They went down to Gemelling, who sit on top of the ladder at the moment in the league, 14-11-95. So 6-14-50, Gemelling 14-11-95. Kalingri, who we will take on tomorrow, they are very much improved. They've obviously got a couple of recruits in. They won both the league and the reserves.
Klingery 15-4, very straight kickers, 94, defeated the highly fancied Darren Wiley 13-10, 88. And in the other two contests, we had Wongan Balladieu 16-9, 105. They took care of Dow Wollanyu, 7 goals, 11-53. Daly struggling a little bit at the moment for numbers, so we hope that they can rectify that and get some more on the track for their league side and Rezzies. And in the contest I was at, Terry, Gingin never really got started against our league side there in 2J. 2J sort of kept them at bay for majority of the second half. Wasn't a bad first half of footy, but when we put it together in that second half and started playing some team-oriented footy, they ended up winning 13-9-87 over Gingin 8-4-52. So that takes care of the results. We move on, as I said, to the fixtures for today and tomorrow. I've already skipped past the Saturday fixture. For Sunday footy, we have Dow Wollanyu taking on Darren. That'll be at Dow Wollanyu, so Darren will be on the road for that one. Gingin will host Gemelling. That's two home games in a row there for Gingin, so they've got a chance to rectify their situation against 2J. So they'll take on Gemelling, who are in top spot. And then 2J taking on Klingery, as I mentioned, which will be happening tomorrow at the 2J Sporting Complex.
Just going back to the Gingin game from last week, we were previewing that game and we were expecting Gingin to come out breathing fire, and they were a huge challenge, and credit to your sides there, the league sides and the reserves certainly rose to the challenge against Gingin.
Well, traditionally very, very strong, Terry, in both the reserves. They've been very successful in the reserves competition, winning a number of premierships in the previous years. I know that I certainly was channeling a plenty of belief and, you know, a new path for our reserve side especially, who probably had it in their heads that they couldn't win over there, but they proved themselves wrong. And the league side, I think, are just getting better and better, starting to believe in themselves and believe in their structures. Certainly got the ability. Discipline, I think, is our major issue at the moment, and a number of league sides are probably struggling from something similar at the moment, just keeping their eyes on the footy. That league side's certainly developing and well-coached, so... Look, it's another big challenge against Klingery. Certainly not taking them lightly. They had a great win last weekend, and their reserves are also on track too. So it should be a cracking fixture. And we, like I say, you know, looking forward to the challenge, and hopefully we can bring away a win for the reserves and league side, which will be the third week in a row, but there's plenty of work ahead. Mate, I was just going to quickly touch on the ladder too, Terry, because I just wanted to mention, because the ladder, as it's integrated, and it can be quite confusing to look at, but to give it from a perspective there of the Mortlock Association, Gemelling are on top at the moment on 8 points. This is a league ladder. Wongan Balladieu are in second spot on 8 points, and then 2J third on 8 points, and Gingin in fourth position on 8. Just outside the four, we have Darren Wiley on 4 points, Klingery on 4 points. So Dow Wollanyu, for the scheme of things for Mortlock, sit at the bottom of the ladder without a win. They're the only side that has yet to have a win so far within the Mortlock Football Association. So we obviously hope for them to crack through very, very soon. So just giving you a concise update there, Terry. Back to you, mate.
I don't play, but what I like to do as a spectator is go to all the grounds across our leagues and go to the canteen and rate them out of 10.
What did you give us, mate?
I'll give 2J 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, gee. I'll tell you one thing. A lot of these, I had a very, very good feed too out there at Darren the other day when I was up there for work. There is a number of places across the beautiful central wheat belt, the Avon Valley, that, certainly have the box ticked when it comes to Tucker, mate. Absolutely sensational. Got it covered around here, mate. Beautiful part of the world.
All this month we're doing Best of the Wheat Belt on Triple M. So
I did give the Curry Club a bit of a mention too. Yeah, the Curry Club over there, Spice and Grill, the 2J Spice and Grill over there on the main street, Stirling Terrace of 2J. They do a wonderful job over there. So we've got a number of businesses over there that do a sensational job, but I have been known to sneak down to the Curry Club on a Wednesday or a Thursday night. Just for a bit of takeaway, do rate the old chicken Caesar salad very, very highly.
It is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M. It's all thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre, meridenfitness.com.au.
Saluting local legends, this is the Wheatbelt Sports Show on Triple M with Daniel Rowdy Hobley and Terry Seaver. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Members have 24/7 access to the gym. meridenfitness.com.au.
Just like that, another show coming to a close. Thanks for your company this morning throughout the Central Wheatbelt and Avon Valley. Dan, always great to have you on a Saturday.
Good on you, Terry. Yeah, that concludes my correct episode or show six.
Show six.
Show six.
You've been counting.
Yeah, I have, mate. Oh, of course. 94 to go to the 100, so we're getting there. We've flicked a couple off the legs and we've got to six and we're down the other end. So, look, great show, mate.
Really enjoyed it, and great to catch up with all our local content.
Triple M Rocks Footy very shortly. We're off to the Saturday rub, and then we've got the Triple M Footy triple header.
All over it, mate. The old foes there in the Sydney Swans will take on Collingwood. Bounced down this morning at the SCG at 11:45. Going to tip Sydney in that one. Gold Coast to take on Brisbane. Bounced down this afternoon at Metricon. That'll be around about 2:35, and then we'll have Gold Coast and taking on Brisbane. So, look, I think out of that one, I'm going to probably go with Brisbane. And then to conclude a Saturday here on Triple M, the boys will be covering, boys and girls, I should say, will be covering Richmond v GWS, and that will be taking place at Marvel Stadium. So, Docklands, so that one, you'd suggest that GWS would potentially go in, unfortunately, for the Tigers, potentially favourites. They've been in good form the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to go for a bit of an upset there. I think the GWS will get it done without Shea Bolton, who's clearly in the best players.
What about that mark of the year contender last week?
Oh, it was brilliant. Well, I've seen better, though, from Liam Ryan. But, yeah, Shea Bolton's mark was absolutely outstanding. You won't see too many better than that. But I'm going to tip the GWS in that game in a boil over.
Some big games coming up. Don't go anywhere. You won't miss a minute of the action here on Triple M as we rock footy. This has been the Wheatbelt Sports Show. Thanks to Meriden Squash and Fitness Centre. Dan Hobley, as always, great to have you in.
Thanks, Terry, and good day to our listeners, and sad day, so get amongst it.